This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
We know it's the number one team in America. We know they're high powered. Do you build the opponent up by saying those things? And those are pretty good ways to describe someone. Are you in admiration of them? Yeah, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to go to stay on the mat with them. You're going to have to score, and you're going to have to score again and again to stay on the mat with them. And so this isn't coming down to whether this is going to be like normal, because there's nothing normal about this. And the thing is we don't have normal guys in our room. So there is a choice. There is a choice here.
There is a choice, says Tom Brands. Choice to talk some wrestling here on 1600 ESPN as it's a Wrestling Wednesday segment. Big, big, big duel coming up on Friday night. Doesn't get really any bigger when you talk about Iowa wrestling, Iowa and Penn State. Friday night at 6 at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Number one team in the nation coming in to Carver in front of a great crowd as always. See if the Hawkeyes can make some inroads that they haven't been able to make. I'll put it that way. Because Penn State's owned this series of late. They've owned college wrestling, period. And we'll talk about that with our next guest, Eli McCown of the Des Moines Register. He was present for that quote from Tom Brands, plus a lot of other info yesterday in Iowa City. And we're pleased to have Eli join the program again to fill us in on what's going on with the Hawkeye wrestling team. Eli, always appreciate the time. How you doing?
Doing great. Glad you chose me today to bring on to talk some college wrestling. It's a pretty big week.
Yeah, it certainly is. It was kind of a weird day, a chaotic kind of day. I bet you thought it was just a standard media availability ahead of Iowa Penn State, but then Tom Brands drops the news that Asoma and Dean was no longer on the roster. I know we don't really know much more than what was said yesterday, but what can you tell us about that headline that came out yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, no other way to put it other than just like a big stunner, right? I don't think there was not a lot of tea leaves that were leading to this, and it was kind of a big news drop yesterday, obviously, so a bit of a surprise. As you alluded, I mean, we don't really know a lot right now. Tom Brands, you know, I asked him if he was able to elaborate any, and he chose not to. I, along with I assume many others, reached out to Masoma. He has not yet went on the record to comment about anything, so... you know, we're kind of left at a spot where we're not really sure what happened, right? And obviously, you know, people are going to do what people do, and they're going to speculate, which can be very, very dangerous. And I think it's good to remember that these are people, too, and human beings. And, you know, things just didn't work out, as Tom Brand said, and as what was kind of said there. They wish him the best. But it can't really be seen as anything other than a gut punch for Iowa. I mean, losing a top five guy, what he quickly became, not only in becoming a top five guy, but also a fan favorite right away. It's a gut punch to their hunt for another team trophy. You know, trying to take down Penn State, as we'll get to here with a duel, is always going to be a pretty Herculean task, as I kind of keep saying, but. Losing Mo and Dean makes that it's just a really tough spot to be in. So don't know a lot, and you know, it's one of those things that's really unfortunate when these types of things happen. So hopefully in the days to come we'll learn a little bit more.
Yeah, well, 197, that's a big hole. We'll get to some of the possible places where Iowa can make some inroads, but it's kind of now a scramble, right, at that weight class to get someone who can compete with the number one wrestler at that weight and Josh Barr Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Barr, if you didn't watch the NCAA Finals last year, I mean, this is a guy who just a relentless gas tank. He attacks a ton. There's a reason he's number one in the country. And 197 is a good weight. You know, Rocky Yelim over at Iowa State is going to have something to say about that too, along with a couple others. But Barr is every bit as legit as it gets. And for Iowa, you know, there's a few options, right? You have the true freshmen's Harvey Luddington, top recruit in his weight class last year. But I think last week you kind of saw there's some raw stuff that still needs to be developed. You know, Tom said it himself after the Wisconsin duel, you know, you're still bringing him along. And, I think you kind of saw he gets the first couple takedowns in that match, but then he gives up the reversal into a near fall. And you're just kind of seeing that you see the talent, it's there, but it does seem preferable, right, to that you could get him a year if the circumstances were right. But now not having Wasoma, that puts into question, right, whether you might use him. So that'll be something to monitor going forward. He's got two more dates that he can use before his eligibility will be burnt up. If you don't go there, do you look to Gabe Arnold, who wrestled a couple duels at 197 earlier this year? Is that what's best for him long term? And in the short term, you know, that's the question. He got a couple wins at 197, but he'd be at a pretty clear disadvantage. So, and then you have Brody Sampson, who's also in the probables, Ballard grad, 7-6 on the year. I mean, there's not an ideal option here across the board at 197. I mean, there's no way to put it. So barring some unexpected weight change or something of that nature, it's hard to describe this as anything other than a pretty major hole right now, where I think you'd feel pretty happy if you got an NCAA qualifier out of that weight.
Penn State, still obviously the standard of college wrestling. I believe the number 78 dual wins in a row, which is an incredible number to even look at. Or to even just see it on paper. I mean, you know they've been so dominant, but, man, you see that number, you're like, what, huh? How is that even possible? But they're just so good, right? And they're number one for a reason. I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. How is Iowa approaching this? From what you heard yesterday, we heard Tom Brands, you know, got to be ready to go. This is not your typical week. We don't have your typical guys in the wrestling room. You got to be ready because this is going to be, you know, the biggest match of the season to date. Is there anything they're doing differently to approach taking on the number one team? It helps that it's at home, right? But Penn State is so good that they can erase any home mat advantage pretty darn quickly. What's the approach? What have you been hearing from Tom Brands and the wrestlers that spoke yesterday?
Yeah, no, you bring up a handful of good points there. And in terms of, I don't think they really go about anything differently from one duel to the next. You know, but obviously this, as he said, this isn't normal either. Like when you go against this Penn State team, I mean, several number one guys, I think 9 of the 10 are in the top 10. This is different. And one of the things that kind of caught me a little bit, or, you know, perked up a little bit, was Tom kind of said it. I think Iowa put the clip out there as well of him kind of saying, you got to go out, you know, more or less what his point was, you got to go out and dictate your match and get after it from the start. Don't just try and feel it out and let this go late. And I think that kind of speaks to a lot of Iowa's wrestlers right now. I think that was a little bit of a challenge for some guys. You know, you think about across the weights. I mean, there's a lot of guys who just have had some moments where they haven't been consistent. You know, I think you could say that about a lot of different weights. Obviously, Drake Ayala has had a brutal schedule with wrestling the top four guys in the country after this week, but he's 4-4. And as an NCAA finalist, you'd like to have more out of him, right? And when Drake Ayala wrestles his best, and he'll tell you this, is when he goes out and sets the pace from the get-go and is attacking, getting to his single legs, wrestling his style. And I think that's what he's kind of asking of him, is really just, you can't just be starstruck out there. You can't just let Penn State dictate matches, because they could get ugly very, very quickly. And that home, you know, field advantage is going to be something interesting to watch too. Penn State has just a litany of incredibly talented freshmen, Marcus Blaze and PJ Duke, guys who have won world titles. PJ Duke made a senior world team he's 17, 18, 19 years old. Pretty incredible. I was going to be at a disadvantage in the underdog in those weights, but at Carver Hawkeye, you know, how do those guys wrestle in the most hostile environment that they've ever been in? They wrestled at world championship stages, but Carver Hawkeye is probably the loudest and some of the craziest stuff you'll see. So how do you respond to that? And Iowa's got some guys who can compete there, but it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of seize on that home court advantage a little bit.
I wanted to ask you about Dean Peterson. He's made a pretty good jump from his time at Rutgers to his limited sort of time, what we've seen at Iowa so far. But what have you made of his season so far and how he's progressed since joining the team from Rutgers?
Yeah, I mean, what he kind of said coming into the year was the biggest thing he wanted to find was consistency, right? And for him, that comes in different forms. We're talking about a guy last year who beat Luke Lilledahl, the guy he's going to face this weekend, pinned Richard Figueroa at the reigning NCAA champion last year, but then has some head-scratching losses. And that's kind of been the story of Dean Peterson over the last couple of years. But now he's coming into the fold this year. He beats an NCAA finalist in Troy Spratley. He's had some really good wins. His only loss this year is to Nick Bouzakis, a really big 125-pounder who's a little funky in the way he wrestles and got him to his back and caught him and kind of a quick match there. So there's not a ton you can take from that. But I think Dean so far in this Big Ten season is going to be the most telling part, right? But he wrestled a pretty tough schedule to start the year, and he's looked pretty consistent so far. He wrestles with the moxie in a passion and a little bit of a swagger or it factor or whatever you want to call it that I think bodes well for you in big moments. So this is a big moment for him this weekend, and we're going to see if that consistency has continued to develop. But that's been the story so far.
Couple more minutes with Eli McCown from the Des Moines Register previewing this Friday's Iowa-Penn State wrestling duel on a Wrestling Wednesday here on 1600 ESPN. A lot of talk yesterday about Angelo Ferrari, too, and just how much he's meant as a team leader. Granted, he's a redshirt freshman, but he stepped up quite a bit and been a leader for this team. And when we get to the possibility of where Iowa can make inroads against a dominant team like Penn State, I think a lot of people are circling him on the probables for Friday night's duel. What have you made of just kind of how he's been that leader in a sense, but been doing it as one of the younger guys on this team?
Yeah, I mean, that was something Tom said at Media Day that kind of stuck out, was that he was a leader in his own way. And that was something that kind of caught me off guard a little bit, just because you don't hear Tom Brand say that about very many freshmen, right? And what it kind of comes down to is, this is the first time we kind of got into that a little bit because we talked to Angelo yesterday, and really comes down to, he's the type of guy that's first one in, last one out, and the way he kind of conducts himself as a mat rat and his consistency. And as we were just kind of saying, I think that consistency is something that a lot of different Iowa Hawkeyes are seeking right now at the other nine weights. And he's proven that so far. He's beaten some of the best of the best this year, especially that win over Aiden Sinclair, who's probably a guy he's going to see again at NCAAs. And where that kind of comes from is his confidence. And his confidence comes from a different place, I think, than a lot of people, whereas his has nothing to do with having a big head necessarily. It's kind of just the expectations he carries for himself, where he's his own biggest critic and he thinks that he should be at a certain place. It doesn't come from a place of feeling cocky or feeling like he's got a big head. He just thinks that's where he should be, and that's how it is. So his mentality is something that Ryder Block directly said, like, that is something we look up to. And so that's a pretty stark thing for a wrestler and for Tom Brand to say about a freshman. So that definitely stood out ahead of this duel.
You mentioned Ryder Block. That's someone who's been a ton of fun to follow this year, seeing him, one, be healthy. I think was a big thing for him, but he's obviously taken a pretty big jump going up another weight class there. Obviously, last Friday didn't go the way he hoped, but what have you made of Ryder Block's season so far and how he's progressed from last year to this year?
Yeah, I mean, last week was a little bit of a stunner where in the third period he kind of just lost some gas there, you know, and Tom kind of alluded after the duel, like, got to deal with what you're dealing with and you got to be good to go. So seems like he was maybe battling a little bit of something, you know, didn't clarify, but, you know, something to keep an eye on. But Ryder, you know, being up at 149, he talked about it. It's great for him just in the fact that he's not cutting to get to 141. And it's been a little bit better of a fit for him. And we're starting to see him, you know, his ability from the top positions to get long rides, wear down opponents, is always been a skill of his. But the one thing that you're starting to see a little bit in moments is his ability from neutral getting takedowns. I mean, he's got a bit of a bag to him and some athleticism that's hard to match. I mean, people forget that this was one of the bigger recruits of his class and won Fargo and really talented kid. And he's starting to show it. And it's been really fun. And I definitely think that's been one of the bright spots this year, because he dropped to number 17 after this loss, and 149 has been a little bit of a I don't know if gauntlet's the right word, just a little bit crazy to follow, probably. It's a little bit of a parody there, but his talent's starting to show, and I definitely think he's one of those guys that could make it onto the podium this year, honestly, with the way he's kind of brought himself in moments this year.
Last year's final score of the duel was 30-8. So I'll just ask the question, where does Iowa make inroads to try to improve on that? I think most people understand that the gap is pretty big between Penn State and Iowa, so I'm not going to ask you, can the Hawkeyes win? Obviously, being at home, you like it being at home, but you understand just how dominant Penn State has been. You understand how big the gap is between Penn State and not just Iowa, pretty much everybody in college wrestling right now. Where does Iowa make inroads? Can they make inroads to get that margin below 30-8 and make it a little bit more respectable this year? Where do you see the most opportunity Friday?
Yeah, I mean, 125 is obviously a spot that Dean Peterson has the win. So can you do that again? Right. That's going to be a big match. Luke Lilledahl is very, very good. So that's not going to be an easy one to just repeat, you know, Dean Peterson. And I don't think Dean Peterson is going to do this, but it's definitely not one of those matches that you can say, oh, well, I've won it before, because he's going to have to bring his A game. Ayala at home interests me, because Marcus Blaise, I think if this was a neutral site or at Penn State, I'd be feeling the way Ayala looked as of late would scare me a little bit. But this is probably his last time wrestling Penn State, right? I mean, I never want to say never in the NCAA era where we're giving out years of eligibility all over the place, but probably his last year. And last time wrestling Penn State, one of the biggest moments he's going to have, and home turf against the true freshman. Like, this is a big moment for him, and I'm not going to count out a two-time NCAA finalist. So that's a spot. 41's a spot for Penn State that's kind of been up in the air, right? And Nasir Bailey's had his struggles. Cale Peterson has gotten some run, and they're trying to figure out who's going to be there. But Braden Davis has just filled that spot, and we haven't really seen a lot of him this year up at a new weight class. So that's an interesting one to me, even though Iowa's kind of struggled there. And then you look at 184 and 285. I think those are the two spots you point to and say they are favorites with Angelo and Ben Keeter. And then 65 and 74 are going to be big too, just because those are both matches that Caliendo and Kennedy have seen a lot against Messenbrink and Levi Haynes. Both of them, you know, especially Caliendo, he kind of said earlier this year that he's been really working this offseason to get that match back. And so those are big tests, because you've seen those guys a lot, but they've had the Hawkeyes' number in those two bouts. So if you're going to have a chance, I think you need one of those. And I think you're going to need a lot of luck across this. But as you mentioned, this is Penn State's world, and we're all just kind of living in it right now. So this is going to be this could be a long night for the Hawkeyes, but we'll see how this goes, because I do think there's some interesting chances across the 10 ways.
I wanted to get one question about the Iowa women's wrestling team in there for you. They suffered their first loss at National Duels a little bit ago. And this NCAAs are looking like it could be a pretty interesting matchup between McKendree, North Central, and Iowa. What was your reaction to one Iowa's loss, and what is shaping up for early March, and what could be a pretty fun NCAAs for the first NCAAs for women's wrestling there?
Yeah. It's obviously a very exciting time, and I think the way this is shaping up is pretty exciting. I do think, you know, it's funny, because I mentioned it to Clarissa after how this duel mirrored a lot of the first time Iowa beat North Central, where this time around in Iowa's loss, they won 6 of the 10 bouts. But because of the way the freestyle duel works, if the opposing team that loses in the bout scores a point and doesn't get pinned, you get a team point, right? So North Central scored team points in 9 of the 10 bouts, stayed in it, and then got the fall late, and that was it. I think out of it, Iowa got a lot of the major things you would have wanted. I think if you told the staff going in that Carly Brooks was going to get the win that she did over a tough opponent, Sky Reelin was going to do the same, and Reese Laramendi was going to defeat her former teammate and the number one ranked wrestler in Bella Meir, those are the three main things you might have been looking for. But Nyla Valencia being up and then getting pinned late, and then the pin at for JC Fuller getting pinned at the end, that kind of did them in, and that's where you were, right? So I don't think this is an overreact time, because I think that Iowa still got a lot of the things you would have wanted out of that duel, but it does go to show the depth continues to get better outside of just Iowa, and it's not going to be an easy one. McKendree, they didn't even get to see that matchup. We might see it for her duels, I imagine. That is a really good team there in McKendree, and they ended up losing to North Central as well, but this is going to be a very, very exciting team race, and getting to March is one of those things I'm really looking forward to dive into those 2 days, because the inaugural NCAA Women's Championships are going to bring it, so that's going to be a very, very fun event.
Eli, appreciate the time. Have fun covering the duel on Friday, and we'll catch up with you again down the road, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
It's Eli McCown from the Des Moines Register joining me here and joining us here on 1600 ESPN, 6 o'clock on Friday night, Hawkeyes and Penn State. That is on Big Ten Network on Friday as well. You shared with me, this is for entertainment purposes only. Someone will get mad at us for even bringing it up, but I'm going to bring it up. Was it Circa Sports Iowa?
Yeah, I also looked. DraftKings also has
it. DraftKings has it too. Okay. Penn State minus 25 point favorites against the Hawkeyes on Friday night. So for entertainment purposes only, Penn State minus 25.
There's just bonus points all over there for Penn State. Like when you look at, and just based off of the rankings, but also having watched some of these guys, 97 is now just such a,
It's a black hole.
It's a really big gut punch for how great Dean looked. And not, it's very disappointing for fans. I think he was one of the best stories in college wrestling this year. Was going to be one of the best stories in college wrestling. He looked like he was
D3
headed
to
for,
D1.
Headed for a podium finish. Maybe a top three finish would have been awesome. And feels like we were kind of, I don't want to say robbed, but it's disappointing that it's going to end this way and we don't get to see him at NCAAs.
Right.
Just personally, I'm very disappointed. It would have been a very, very cool, fun story.
And we don't know the full reasoning behind it. There's a lot of people who claim to know they do on the internet, but maybe we'll get the full details very soon. But again, appreciate Eli for the time. Check out Des Moines Register for more of his content. Does great work there. Covers not just wrestling, but a bevy of other sports, high school wrestling, a lot of different things that he's on the beat for. So we appreciate him taking some time here